Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Welcome to An Hour of Crime. Later on, movie actor Ray Milland stars in the Screen Guild Theater, but right now a broadcast of The Whistler. The CBS episode first aired on February 12, 1947, called A Woman's Privilege.
The Whistler.
Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Yes, friends, it's time for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, rated by independent research the most popular West Coast program. In gasoline, you know, it takes extra quality to go farther. And Signal is the famous Go Farther gasoline. So look for the Signal circle sign in yellow and black that identifies Signal service stations from Canada to Mexico. And now the Whistler's strange story. A woman's privilege.
In the drawing room of a palatial home in Newport, hang a pair of priceless oil paintings. One of an Italian nobleman, the other his wife. The surfaces are cracked, the frames old and worm-eaten, but the colors are as fresh and brilliant as if they were painted yesterday. There's a strange connection between the paintings and a sordid, ugly scene in a New York police station not far from the East River. It was very late, and in the next room, a homicide lieutenant was grilling a suspect. The charge was murder.
Any luck?
Yeah, he's coming along.
Ready to get to him?
Give him 5 more minutes. The guy's ready to break now.
You know, I can't help feeling there's more to this than the guy's telling. Something that maybe even he doesn't know.
Yes, it was more than a simple murder. More than the homicide detail or anyone else would ever uncover. It was the story of a traveling art broker named John Winters, of a casual trip to the picturesque Italian seaport of Venice, of the unbelievable, stunning moment in his hotel room when a quiet little artist named Giulio Donati put $250,000 in the palm of his hand.
Well, Signor Winters, what do you think?
Well, it's pretty hard to believe, Donati.
But seeing is believing, eh? Tell me, what do you think it would bring on the American market?
I don't know. It's been so long since anything like this.
But you do know, Signor Winters. At this moment, your head is spinning with figures.
Well, after all...
Of course. So you will agree I'm giving it to you for almost nothing when I ask only $75,000.
$75,000 for an original Montaigne. I think you're being very reasonable.
Thank you, Signor.
Too reasonable.
Eh? Huh?
What's wrong with it?
Still skeptical, eh? You're very hard to convince, Signor Winters. Suppose I leave it with you for, 24 hours, so you can examine it closely.
You're pretty sure of yourself, Donati.
I would not have come to you if I weren't sure the painting would pass the inspection of an expert. Your reputation as a specialist on Montaigne is known all over the continent.
Yes, well, this is a Montaigne if I ever saw one, but $75,000, it's...
There will be many, Signor, who will say it's Montaigne's best work.
I'd agree with him. It is. What's funny about that?
You flatter me.
What?
You see, I painted it myself.
You what?
I wanted you to know that. It took me many months.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that you...
I painted it myself, Signor.
But the technique, the style...
They were difficult to master. The oil's hard to find. The aging process... Signor, it was hard work. But you see, it had its reward.
Is this the only one?
Oh, no, I completed a pair. The other was sent a week ago to a New York broker. C.L. Brickley. I expect to hear from him tomorrow.
Does he know about this one?
Of course. I informed him in a confidential letter.
I should think you'd keep it under your hat. Forgery is a serious business.
Oh, please. They are not forgeries. I claim only to paint in the manner of Mantegna. I intended to pawn off a forgery. I wouldn't have been so frank.
But you know what's going to happen. This Brickley will peddle that picture as an original.
Senor, what you people do with my paintings is your own business. I am an artist, not a forger. However, I think you will find me discreet enough. And now I must go. You may examine the picture as closely as you want, senor.
Where can I reach you?
My studio, 11 Plaza Franchetti.
Good.
Before noon, eh?
Right. Good day, Donati.
Good day.
Si, senor?
A long distance operator. I want Mr. Wilken Potter, person to person, Chatelain Hotel, Interlaken, Switzerland. Wait a minute, Potter. I'll tell you again. It's the McCoy, an original Montaigne.
He's pulling your leg. No one in his right mind would let a Montaigne go for $75,000.
I told you, he doesn't know what he's got.
The artist only produced 35 paintings in his life. They're all catalog winners. There's no such thing.
I saw it with my own eyes. Are you telling me I don't know a Montaigne when I see one? What about this Brickley? He bought the mate to it.
John, I just can't believe it.
All right, Potter. If you don't want to advance me the money, there's plenty of others.
Don't do that. All right, John, it's a deal. Call me when you've closed, and I'll wire the money.
Well, that's better. You'll hear from me in a couple of hours.
Well, John, Donati was right, wasn't he? Your mind is whirling with figures as you hang up the phone. Hurry across town toward the little shop in the Plaza Franchetti. Yes, there's over $250,000 in that specially built briefcase under your arm, provided that the three people in the world who know the truth are discreet. That's the only gamble, isn't it, John? You and Donati and Brickley, the New York broker. With three who know, there's always a chance one might talk. You turn a corner into the plaza, wondering if Brickley had thought of that one. The answer comes suddenly. A crowd is gathered at the front of Donati's shop.
Well, what's the matter? What happened here?
Keep back, please.
What is it, officer? What happened?
The proprietor of this shop, a Signor Donati, was shot.
This you, Potter?
Yes, John, go ahead.
Looks like the deal's off.
What happened?
We were a little late.
Brickley got there first, eh?
Yeah, Brickley got there first. Well, thanks for the offer, Potter, but I won't need the money now. I'm on my way to New York.
It's only 3 days from Venice to New York by plane. But it seems a great deal longer, doesn't it, John? You try to concentrate on other things, but your mind keeps going back to your suitcase in the luggage compartment. To the masterful piece of forgery sewed in its lining that will bring at least $250,000 on the American market. Yes, Donati was clever, wasn't he, John? Too clever. And to you, at least, it's clear that this Brickley, whoever he is, knew that a clean deal could never be made if the secret of the forgery were shared. And that, of course, added up to Donati's murder. You have a surprise for Brickley, haven't you, John? But you know you have to be careful. On the afternoon of your arrival in New York, you walk down the corridor of an apartment building in the East 70s. Pause. Press a buzzer.
Yes?
I'm looking for Mr. C.L. Brickley.
Oh. What did you wish to see Mr. Brickley about?
A personal matter. Is he in?
Just what is it you're selling, Mr.?
Winters, John Winters. Well, I'm really not selling anything. I guess this suit does need pressing, but it's really not that bad, Miss...
Brickley.
Oh? His daughter?
I'm C.L. Brickley.
What?
Himself.
Well, a woman.
But a woman who isn't interested in a vacuum cleaner at the moment. Perhaps some other time, Mr. Winters.
All right, Miss Brickley. Have it your way. A friend of mine told me you had a picture or two that might interest me, and
Wait a minute. What kind of a picture?
I'm collecting Italian Renaissance.
You?
Honest, C.L., I've got 11 other suits. If I'd known I was calling on such a beautiful businessman.
I'm sorry, Mr. Winters. Please come in.
Shall I bring my vacuum cleaner? No charge for the demonstration.
I said I'm sorry. Come in. Please, sit down.
Thank you. Is this your place of business?
Yes. I'm a broker, Mr. Winters.
I see.
You mentioned Italian Renaissance. Just what did you have in mind?
Venetian school, in particular.
Oh. You know, of course, authentic Venetian things run a little high.
How high?
$300,000.
That's high enough. What is it?
A Montaigne.
Now, wait a minute.
Yes, I know it's hard to believe. It came to light during the war. I was very lucky.
You're positive it's authentic?
Do you want to see it?
No, that won't be necessary. Let me check my briefcase here.
I have the picture in my safe. I can get it out.
Just a minute. Yeah, here we are. How do you like this one?
Where did you get that?
Same place you got yours, Miss Brickley. Same artist, same convincing technique.
Who are you?
Winters. The name's Winters.
Not what I mean. Where did you come from?
Don't worry about me, lady. I'm authentic. Let's stick to the Montaignes,
All right, Mr. Winters. Just how many of these are floating around?
Two.
And how many know about the...
Forgery? Two. You and me. That is, since you took care of Donati.
That's a little crude.
All right, so you had it done. What's the difference? That still leaves two. You'd be smart enough not to give the hired help your reason.
You've got it all figured out, haven't you?
That's water over the dam. Let's talk about the pictures. We're hooked with each other, you know that.
That might not be so bad, Mr. Winters.
I'd better make it John.
All right, John.
You know, we've got a lot to talk over, C.L.
Yes, I know.
But since you're not quite the kind of a guy I expected to meet, why don't we switch the conference to a nightclub?
I'd like that.
Okay, pick you up around 8?
Fine.
Oh, don't worry.
About what?
I'll wear another suit. One that's pressed. C.L., you don't dance at all like a stuffed shirt.
You like?
I like.
Tell me more.
Not at a business conference.
Oh, that again.
Ray Brickley. Why, darling, where have you been?
Hello, Mrs. Carlton. One of my clients.
When am I going to see you, dear? It's been an age.
Well, I may have something to show you in a few days.
Good. Don't forget me, will you?
Don't worry.
Mrs. Carlton, you didn't tell me about her.
She has money, darling, but not the kind we're after.
Who does it boil down to?
They're pretty hard to find, you know. People who put out $500,000 for a pair of paintings. I put out a couple of feelers this evening before you arrived.
Beg your pardon, Miss Brickley.
Yes?
There's a call for you, a Mr. Gross.
Mr. Gross, what is...
Who's Mr. Gross?
He's one of the clients I told you about.
He said it was quite important, miss.
Yes, of course. Excuse me, John, I'll be right back.
She gives your hand a little squeeze as she turns to leave the floor. Floats past the row of ringside tables and out of the room. She is beautiful, isn't she, John? Slim, graceful. The satin of her evening gown clinging to her like a glistening white sheet. And for the moment, you forget everything else. The Montaignes, the $500,000, the wealthy clients, everything. Everything, that is, except that you're dealing with a killer who's as sure as you are that those paintings can never be sold as long as there are two minds in the world who know they're forgeries. If only she weren't so breathtaking, so beautiful.
What's on your mind,
oh,
John?
Don't
get up.
I didn't see you.
Miss me?
Naturally. What about Mr. Gross?
Oh, that was nothing.
He said he was a client. What's on his mind?
Oh, he's interested in Renaissance art, you know.
Good. He knows about the Montaignes?
More or less.
What do you mean, more or less?
I told him I had something that would interest him.
Make an appointment?
Yes. As I told him, I'd get in touch with him in a day or two. Oh, let's forget about business for now, shall we? The music's so wonderful. And I do love to dance with you, John.
You wish the rain didn't affect you this way, that you could approach the whole thing with a clear head. But it's something you've never known before, really. The music, the vibrant, thrilling feeling that sweeps over you as you dance with her. Her warm, low voice in your ear. But no matter how much you tell yourself that business is business, the feeling's still there the next morning when you arrive at her apartment. You pause for a moment before you ring. Decide once again that nothing must stand in the way of the picture deal and the $500,000.
Well, hello, partner.
Partner?
Any objections?
Didn't know I'd made the grade.
Oh, you have, definitely.
Oh?
Come in. Got something to show you.
Thanks. Well, I didn't expect to find you in a laboratory apron. What's going on? What's this?
My laboratory. I've been putting your Montaigne over the jumps.
Jumps?
I photographed it. Three ways. X-ray, ultraviolet, and infrared. The negative's over on the rack, drying.
Well.
Then I checked the colors with alcohol. The Naughty's a clever man.
Was.
If you insist.
Yes, Donati was a clever man. Don't you think you might have been a little hasty in letting him go?
Still accusing me?
I can add up a column of figures as well as the other guy.
All right, John, have it your way.
I guess you were smart, though. It was a sure bet with one picture. With two, it's a gamble, isn't it? More than that...
Let's not talk about that anymore.
I don't want to be cruel. Just practical. Cigarette?
Thanks.
Well, what's next on the program, beautiful? Mr. Gross?
I don't know, John.
What do you mean, you don't know? You're not getting cold feet, are you? You said he was interested.
Yes, I know, but
Well, that's good enough for me. You don't want to see him, I will.
John, son, we've got to trust each other now. You know that.
Just make an appointment with that guy for me. I want to see him.
John, I don't know why I'm saying this. I've never said it before, but I...
What is it?
We could be awfully good friends.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I'm very flattered. I got to be careful, though, you know, playing with dynamite.
John,
I'm talking about Donati. You did it once. You could do it again.
I'm talking about us and what good friends we could be.
We'll discuss that at length after you get the pictures.
Pictures? What for?
Wrap them up, darling. We're going down to the Pennsylvania station.
Yes, sir?
I want to check this package.
John, what are you doing?
Just a minute, all right. Here you are, clerk. $10.
Ten? What do I do?
Just give me the claim check.
Okay. There you are.
Now watch. I tear it in half, see? Here, Lorraine, that's yours.
What are you doing?
Wait a minute, mister.
Put a note on the package, will you? You deliver it only when both halves of the claim check are presented. You get it?
But that's screwy. We don't
You want that $10?
Okay, mister, you're the boss.
Thanks. Come on, Lorraine.
You know, I think this is all pretty silly.
Maybe it is. I do a lot of silly things for $250,000. But don't get me wrong, Angel. I trust you like my own mother. I'll just trust you a lot more after you fix up that appointment for me with your friend, Mr. Gross. How soon can you make it?
Why, I don't know, John. I'm not sure.
Let me handle it, then. When can you get hold of him?
I'll call him tomorrow.
It isn't easy, is it, John? You leave her standing there in the station, fighting to get her out of your mind, your heart, knowing that you must never let her come between you and the business at hand, the appointment with Mr. Gross. The next evening, you go to her apartment, determined to see it through. As you walk down the hall, the door is open slightly. You hear her talking on the telephone. You stop still and listen.
No, there isn't going to be any deal, Mr. Gross. Forget I ever told you to come here at 11. It's off. Yes, I know what I told you, but that was before, and I... Well, it's different now. I'm changing my plan. That's right. It's got to be this way for the present. Right. Goodbye.
You stand there for a full minute thinking, then make up your mind. Two can play that kind of a game, can't they, John? And you know the one who wins is the one who gets there first.
Yes?
It's me, C.L., your partner.
Oh, John, come in. Where have you been all day? Why don't you call a guy?
I've been waiting to hear from you. Did you get hold of Gross?
Yes. He's not interested, John.
Funny. That looked like a sure thing, didn't it? Guy has money, crazy about Italian pictures.
Well, there'll be others.
Sure. Just take a little time, huh?
It'll be worth it.
I suppose it will.
How about a drink?
I've got the car outside. Nice night. I thought you might like to go for a drive.
Sounds wonderful.
Maybe over to Jersey, huh? Across the George Washington Bridge.
I'll get my coat. Only be a minute.
Oh, take your time. No hurry.
It doesn't take long, does it, John? Now that you've made up your mind to it. Just a few miles of riding, talking idly, with the automatic hidden down beside you in the seat. Occasionally, you glance from the road at her beautiful face in the moonlight. That's something you'll never forget. That face, with the moonlight working magic with her hair. It even looked beautiful a half hour later, when you looked at it for the last time. Only then it was very still, with the quiet, wax-like beauty of death. An hour later, you have dropped the automatic into the river and you're back at her apartment. Both halves of the claim check in your pocket, going through the wastebasket next to the telephone.
Find the thing. Ah. Here it is.
A little slip of paper with the name Gross and the telephone number.
Hello?
Mr. Gross?
He'll be back in a minute.
I'm calling for C.L. Brickley. Give Mr. Gross this message, will you?
Go ahead.
Miss Brickley says the appointment's on again. She changed her mind.
11 o'clock. Apartment.
Right. 11 o'clock at the apartment.
Well, let me give you a little tip. If the item is obtainable at the present time, your signal service station has it, and in finest nationally advertised quality. That goes for such major replacements as a new Purolator cartridge to renew your clogged up oil filter. It goes for those everyday needs, such as Whiz body and metal polish, spot remover, window cleaner. And also for essential services, such as putting a deep, long-wearing retread on those dangerously smooth tires, or recharging that run-down battery. Yes, you'll find your signal dealer is much more than headquarters for Signal Famous Go Farther gasoline and Signal Premium Motor Oil. Wherever you see the big Signal Circle sign in yellow and black, there you'll also find a complete line of services and quality accessories to help your car run better, look better, and last longer. And now back to the Whistler.
Yes, It was a long trail that finally ended in that police station near the East River. A trail that began in Venice with an artist who painted a pair of pictures in the manner of Mantegna and died because of them. Lieutenant Brady of Homicide has done his job now. The suspect has finally begun to crack.
Oh, stop it, will you? Stop it.
All right, I'll stop it. You ready to talk?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll talk.
Turn off the lights.
Right, Lieutenant.
All right. Let's have it, Mr. Gross.
The guy in Italy, Donati. I killed him for the Brickley dame.
Money?
Yeah.
What else? Why did she want him dead?
I don't know why. I didn't ask no questions. She sent me over to Italy to get him, and I did. When I got back, she called me and said there was one more job to do.
Money again, huh?
Yeah. But she called up the night I was supposed to bump the second guy and said the job was off. I went out, and when I got back, there was a message it was on again.
Go on.
Well, I was to pick him up at her apartment at 11 o'clock. When I come by for him, he was waiting there in front of the apartment, big as life.
So that's how you happened to murder John Winters.
That's it. I guess the Brickley dame changed her mind.
Let that whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Monday at 9. Brought to you by the Signal Oil Company, marketers of Signal gasoline and motor oil and fine quality automotive accessories. Signal has asked me to remind you, to get the most driving pleasure, drive at sensible speeds, be courteous, and obey traffic regulations. It may save a life, possibly your own. Featured in tonight's story were Betty Lou Gerson and John McIntyre. The Whistler was produced by George W. Allen, with story by Brian Thorne, music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is Marvin Miller speaking for the Signal Oil Company. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Whistler, on Tuned To Yesterday from the 12th of February, 1947, on CBS. You're listening to An Hour of Crime on Tuned To Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In 1949, actor Ray Milland was appearing on the silver screen in two motion pictures, but on radio he had several more appointments, like in episodes of The Cavalcade of America, The Family Theater, The Lux Radio Theater, and the Camel Screen Guild Theater, which we'll hear next, kicking off the 1949 radio season for him. In this next episode, he's joined by movie actress Deborah Carr from January 13th of that year on NBC in the play So Evil, My Love.
The Screen Guild Players present So Evil, My Love, starring Ray Milland and Deborah Carr.
Cabby.
Walter Jarvis at your service, ma'am.
Take me to the Bow Street station. I want the police.
You will ask, of course, why she wanted the police. You might also ask why I was driving her cab.
Well, there's an answer to both questions, naturally. And a story to make your blood run cold.
I have all the facts before me now. The pattern is quite clear. The whole thing started some 7 months ago, along toward the end of 1886. She was then returning from Jamaica, where her husband, a missionary, had recently died. On the high seas, an epidemic had swept the ship, and she'd been pressed into service as a nurse. Among those she tended was a youngish fellow, quite handsome even beneath his beard. He was very grateful, but she was shy and restrained. She helped him through the worst, and then, quite properly, saw no more of him. No more until one morning at her little house in Minton Street.
Yes?
Good afternoon, Mrs. Harwood. How fortunate to find you at home.
I beg your pardon?
Well, apparently my late lamented beard must have changed me completely. I'm Mark Bellis. May I come in?
Yes, do. I'm sorry, it's so unexpected. I mean, seeing you here in Minton Street.
Unexpected? But didn't you say if I was ever in the neighborhood?
Yes, I know, but I...
Well, I was in the neighborhood, and I must confess, not entirely by chance. Mrs. Harwood, I'm afraid I'm going to ask you to help me again.
Help you?
The fact is, I'm homeless.
But surely there are many hotels...
Yes, for those with money, and I have very little. I paint, you know.
Well, I hardly know what to say. It shouldn't be difficult to find something suitable that...
Well, you misunderstand me. I was hoping to stay here.
That would be out of the question.
But you have a vacancy sign in your window.
Yes, I know. But you see, I'm a widow and you're...
Yes, I know. I had no right to expect a warm welcome to England, and yet I...
You were homesick, too.
Oh, I hated the islands, Mrs. Harwood. I hated the exile. I longed for England with a desperation you can never know.
Oh, yes, I can. I hated Jamaica, too. I thought if I didn't come back, I should die.
Yes, we too. Lost souls, flying back to England. We're very much alike, aren't we? Well, how much are you asking for the room, Mrs. Harwood?
Well, it's 12 shillings a week, bed and breakfast, but...
Here you are, 12 shillings. I always like to pay in advance.
But you haven't even seen the room. You may not like it.
My dear Mrs. Harwood, put yourself at ease. I'm sure I shall like it very much.
You weren't here when your things arrived, Mr. Bellis. I took the liberty.
Everything unpacked? Oh, how nice. And a vase of daffodils. How lovely they are.
They're so yellow this year, aren't they?
Yes, and so much more vivid when you stand beside them. You know, you should use color more often. It becomes you.
I've looked at some of your paintings. They're really excellent. I'm sure they'll sell one day.
Yes. Yes, the day after my death. They'll hang in the British Museum, though some of the critics would prefer to see me hanging now.
That's very amusing when you put it like that. Is anything wrong? The way you
wrong?
Were just looking at me?
Well, you see, it's because I've never heard you laugh. And more important, I've never seen you laugh. You're a different person.
Different?
Yes, you're usually so... Forgive me, but you're usually so reticent. But when you laugh, you're gay, very gay indeed. I'd like to paint you.
Me? Oh, surely not.
Oh, yes, with your hair down about your shoulders, unfettered, released.
Oh, no, please.
Why not? Your hair's very beautiful. So are your eyes. Why do you hide it, even from yourself?
Please, we mustn't even discuss it.
I'm sorry. Someday, perhaps?
Perhaps. Someday.
I'm afraid that's all we can do today. The light's gone. Would you like to see it?
I'd rather not.
But you must. I want you to discover yourself. Come here. Well?
Once, when I was young, this is the way I thought I was. Oh, it's like looking into a very old mirror.
Well, I really haven't done you justice. Your eyes are deeper and your skin is whiter.
You really see me like that?
You are like that. Olivia.
Why did you have to paint me this way? Why, it was deliberately cruel.
Deliberate? Yes. Cruel, no.
My life was to be so rich and full and complete. Oh, you wouldn't have known me when I was a girl, when I was in school. I was the leader of everything then. Why did you have to bring it all back? Everything I wanted to be, everything I'm not. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm talking like this. I must go.
Not yet. Wait. I want to know about you, Olivia. I want to know all about you.
No, don't come near me, please.
You're not afraid of me. You're only afraid of yourself. Olivia.
My dear. Oh, my dear.
Poor Mrs. Harwood. From that moment, she never had a chance. The first time he missed his rent, he was most apologetic. The second time, a little less. The third time, it wasn't even mentioned. By then, she was head over heels in love. And when he hinted that he needed money, that he might go abroad where his prospects would be better, she acted out of panic and desperation.
Olivia! Oh, Olivia, I just can't believe it. Why didn't you let me know you were back? Why didn't you write me sooner?
I didn't want to impose.
Oh, impose on me? Oh, but then it's like you to be thoughtful, Olivia. You were always like that, even at school. Oh, what fun we had at school, didn't we?
What a long, long time ago.
It is a long time, Susan.
Oh, I've so much to tell you. Olivia, you're still wearing the little locket I gave you when you left. Oh, how dear of you.
It helped remind me of you. This and your letters.
What? My letters?
I've kept every one of them. I believe I still have them.
Oh, idiotic, weren't they? I write so badly.
I enjoyed them the more for all the misspelling.
Oh, Henry, my husband, says I'm really a child. You must meet Henry. He's quite marvelous, you know. So distinguished. Everybody says he's bound to be knighted. Won't that be wonderful?
Wonderful.
Imagine me being Lady Courtney. Well, Olivia, you weren't joking about the letter.
Joking?
You mean you really kept them?
Of course.
Oh, but why?
Because they were yours. Because they were like a breath of home.
Oh, but now you're back in England. You really must destroy them, mustn't you?
And if you wish me to, the moment I get home.
Oh, thank you. You see, I was afraid.
Darling, you're not ill.
No, it's only my nerves. I'm so concerned about Henry.
I'm sorry, what is it?
Well, it's his heart. He's been to all the best doctors. None of them can stop these dreadful attacks.
Oh, I'm sure he'll recover.
Oh, you're so strong, Olivia. I do envy you your strength.
You envy me? My dear Susan, how very, very odd.
Why do you say it like that? Is anything wrong?
No, not really. At least, Susan, I'm going to ask you a favor.
A favor?
A friend of mine, a person of great worth and talent, is in debt. I have no means of helping him myself. And remembering how generous you've always been, I thought I'd come and ask you. Mark! Mark, are you at home?
I'm right here. What is it, Olivia?
Look, £20.
£20?
I'm sorry it isn't more, because they're very rich and could afford it. But her husband keeps control of her money, treats her like a child.
Who?
Susan Freeman, Mrs. Henry Courtney. She gave it to me. We were at school together.
But where do I come in?
Well, you don't come in, you stay. Now you won't have to go abroad or anywhere.
You mean that... Oh, Olivia, all my life I've known women. But I've known no other woman like you.
And I've known no other man.
Oh, darling.
Poor Susan. With all her fine house and jewels and luxury, she doesn't have what I have.
What you have, my dear, is a penniless painter who allows you to borrow from your friends.
Oh, £20 means little to Susan. And she's always been so fond of me. She asked me to come and stay with her.
Really?
She'd have kept me today, but I have a feeling she's afraid of her husband. Indeed, she seemed half afraid of me.
Of you? Why?
Her letters, I think. I've got them all here in a desk. She wrote them to me when I was in Jamaica.
Dull reading, I'll wager.
No, they were full of confidences and, well, revelations. I promised I'd destroy them.
Revelations, schoolgirl chatter.
Sorry,
or...
Mark. Not for strangers.
Am I a stranger?
Not to me, but to Susan. I may as well burn them now and...
I'll take those letters, Olivia.
Why, Mark?
Juvenile handwriting, hasn't she? Not very much of a style, either. My dearest Olivia, how happy I am. Not an hour ago, I saw...
Mark, how dare you?
Nothing interests me more than what one woman writes to another.
Give those letters back to me. Mark!
Now, listen to me, Olivia. In any relationship between a man and a woman, there's one cardinal rule for success. No secrets. I've no secrets from you. You must have none from me. It must be all or nothing.
Mark, you know I can't bear it when you talk like that.
Then let's give each other no provocation. Olivia... You know I'm pledged to you. Look, I put my ring upon your finger.
Oh, and I give you this locket. It's all I have. Please don't let us ever quarrel again. I couldn't live without you. Not for an instant.
Nor I without you. Olivia.
Yes?
Olivia, I know a place in France by the sea. Merville, it's called. There's a villa. It can be ours, Olivia.
Ours? How?
These letters. Listen. My dearest Olivia, how happy I am. But an hour ago, I saw John again. And I know now that my affections are reciprocated. John? Who's John?
Sir John Kerr.
Oh. If only I'd met him before I married Henry. You see, my dear, Susan Courtney, Sir John Kerr, the keys to Merville.
What do you mean?
I mean that Henry Courtney, Esquire, Queen's Counsel, would undoubtedly pay £1,000 for these letters. And young Mrs. Courtney and the gallant Sir John would pay even more. In fact, the possibilities are endless. Now, first, I suggest you accept her invitation to stay with her. Then, once established in the household...
Give me those letters.
Hardly. This is our escape. Don't you recognize it? Our opportunity. Lose it and we lose each other.
Mark!
I won't starve, Olivia. Not even for you.
Mark, I've known from the beginning. Oh, I've known a lot of things. But I refuse to admit them because I loved you. Because of that, I've done things that are against my nature, against everything I believe, but I...
Then do this one thing more and we are safe. Listen to me, Olivia. All your life you've denied yourself. And what have you to show for it? Today, poverty, misery, loneliness. And tomorrow, even worse than today. Stay here if you want to and die wretchedly. Or come with me and live. You're no child, Olivia. Make your choice.
Act two of So Evil, My Love, starring Ray Milland and Deborah Carr.
Poor Mrs. Harwood. She was so desperately in love, there was scarcely any choice left to her. Within the week, she accepted Susan's invitation, went to live with her as a guest companion. And a few days later, she made her first report.
It's a large house, Mark. Very large and not unpleasant. If it weren't that I miss you so, I might...
Might what?
Mark, has anyone here been using perfume?
Perfume? Oh, that. Oh, one of my old models traced me here looking for work. I sent her packing. Darling, your nose is as sensitive as it's beautiful.
That's what Susan's husband said. Not quite so charmingly, of course.
Susan's husband?
We were in the flower conservatory. I asked him if he'd been using antimony.
Antimony? What's that?
Oh, it's... Well, we used it in the islands to kill insects, tarantulas mostly. It has a very distinctive odor. He seemed very impressed with me.
Who wouldn't be? But tell me about Susan. Did you manage to...
Tell me about my dress.
Oh, it's lovely, darling. You're a different person. You're transformed.
She gave it to me.
Gave you the money for it, you mean?
No, the dress. She has no money, just a small allowance.
Oh, nothing else?
Nothing, except a few bonds.
Bonds? What are they?
You like my hair? I changed it for you.
I worship it. But about the bonds?
Oh, they're Kimberley's, £5,000, I think.
Oh, negotiable.
Oh, Mark, I don't know about these things.
Well, I do. Bring them along next time. You're sure you can put your hands on them?
I've told you, Susan's a fool, and she drinks in secret. No, I don't think I shall have much trouble.
Susan?
Henry. Oh, Henry, this is a surprise.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Harwood.
But, Henry, you never leave your office this time of day.
Not unless I have good reason. Since when have you been dealing with the firm of Smathers and Fortescue stockbrokers?
Well, I...
Why have you never told me you owned Kimberley bonds? And why have you sold them? Answer me.
The reason is very simple, Mr. Courtney. Susan wanted some new dresses. Didn't you, dear?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did.
Indeed. Mrs. Harwood, I see that you also decided to extend your wardrobe.
Well, if Susan chooses to be generous...
Generous? What other gifts has my wife made you? What gowns? What jewels? What else have you acquired?
Whatever Susan did for me was of her own free will.
A matter of interpretation, I believe. You see, I happen to know of Susan's little secret failing. I know her weakness for the bottle. In fact... I'm putting her in a sanitarium tomorrow.
A sanitarium? You can't do that to her. It's inhuman.
Mrs. Harwood, I will speak with you alone in the conservatory. Susan, you will remain here.
I hate you. I hate you. I wish you'd die.
Quite fitting. We should meet here in the conservatory, don't you think? As I recall, we had our first conversation in this room. A friendly little talk about antimony, wasn't it?
What do you wish of me, Mr. Courtney?
Your signature, that's all.
My signature?
Mrs. Harwood, I have prepared a statement to the effect that you've used guile and deception to induce my wife to part with certain valuable possessions. The Kimberley bonds, for example. If you will sign the statement, and with it a pledge that you will never see my wife again, I will not feel myself forced to communicate with the police.
I have done nothing that would interest the police.
Not you, perhaps. You're Mr. Bellis.
Mark? How did you...
My dear Mrs. Harwood, you must realize that I couldn't have anyone living in my home without some sort of investigation. Mr. Jarvis has brought me a complete report. Well, Mr. Bellis is rather a fascinating character. He's committed almost every crime in the calendar.
What are you talking about?
Larceny, forgery, and murder.
Murder?
All here in detail. He'll hang, Mrs. Harwood.
And if I sign the statement?
You may take the report away with you. I've never seen it. It's my family against his life. Fair exchange.
Give me the pen. I'll sign. There you are. Now I'll take the report.
I don't think so, Mrs. Harwood.
But you just told me. You said...
I've changed my mind. The report would be much safer with me. Sort of preventive against...
You cheat! You liar! I'll take it from you. Give it to me.
Here.
Give
here,
it to me. You here, promised no, that, you made a
stop
bargain
it,
with
stop
me.
Stop it, my heart. My... Oh.
Olivia, darling, you must control yourself. Now then, tell me everything, all of it.
He's dead.
Yes, you said that before. He's dead. Now, what else?
He knew everything about us, about you.
Go on.
He had an attack. He fell. It was absurdly easy.
What?
First, I called Susan. The report had fallen to the floor. I picked it up with the paper I'd signed. I stuffed them into my purse. Then they came in, Susan and the butler. They carried him to his room and I stood there. I couldn't move for a moment. All I could see was that bottle, the bottle of antimony on the shelf. I told you it was easy. I went through Susan's room into his bathroom where they keep his medicine. It only took a moment, and then I told Susan she'd better do something for him while they were waiting for the doctor. I had to, Mark. I had to, for you.
Who else knows?
Nobody yet. The doctor mumbled something when he was leaving. I think he suspects.
You?
No, no, I never went near him. It was Susan who gave him the medicine. Oh, Mark, Mark, we'll go away, far away where they can't...
Don't be a fool. There's bound to be an inquiry, an inquest, perhaps. You can't just disappear. It would point suspicion directly at you. They'd have you back here in 24 hours.
Mark, what will we do?
What can we do, my dear? We'll wait. If you could rest, my dear. Why don't you go to your room?
It's no use. I can't sleep, Mark. I can't sleep. I'm going to tell them, and then I'll sleep. I must sleep.
Olivia, we're going away. I haven't told you yet, but we're going away. You and I, alone, as we always planned.
No, it's too late. I must tell someone. Please, I'm so tired.
I know, darling, I know.
They've taken Susan into custody. They'll hang her, won't they? They'll hang her.
Olivia, listen to me. They'll put her into a nursing home, and that's all. They'll say she's not responsible. Courtney himself decided to do that.
Oh, Mark. Mark, I have no strength but you. Where could we go?
Ireland. We've married there, and then America, the other side of the world.
When?
Tomorrow.
Take me tonight.
Darling, that's impossible. I must make arrangements for our passage. I'll go down and do it first thing in the morning.
And then come back for me.
No. No, we mustn't be seen leaving together. They may be watching you. You can pack my things and get a cab. Pick me up at the Abbey, Westminster, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Do you trust me, darling?
I love you, Mark. I love you completely.
And just about there is where I came in again. Walter Jarvis, private investigator at your service. You see, I'd compiled that report for Mr. Courtney. In fact, I'd been quite pleased with it. And in view of his sudden and unfortunate death, I thought I'd better keep an eye on Mrs. Harwood. I'd guessed by then what was going on, but I had no proof. I could make no move until they moved first. But when I saw him leave so hurriedly the following morning, I knew it was time to play my trump.
Yes?
Hello, is Ken in?
Ken?
Oh, I mean Mark. I'm always forgetting he's changed his name. Mark Bellis, is he in?
I'm afraid there's no one here by that name.
Come on, dearie, don't try to play me up. Mr. Jarvis said he saw him here, came over and told me Mark wanted to see me.
I'm very sorry, you must have got the...
What's wrong?
It's strange, that perfume you're wearing seems familiar somehow.
Oh, I must have used too much when I was here one time.
Here? You've been here before.
Didn't you know? Why, dearie, I knew all about you. You've gone to live with that... Here. What's the matter now? What are you staring at?
That locket you're wearing.
I'll take that, thank oh, you. Oh, no, you don't. Mark me. Gave me that. Hand it back, you hear?
Get out!
Hand it back!
Seemed like forever, darling, waiting there at Westminster for you to pick me up. Why couldn't they have made the Abbey a little more cheerful? No smile, my dear. Not even a small one. You're really tired. You need a rest, and you shall have it. We've no money, but we'll make out together. I'm sure of it. We'll follow the sun. I'll paint you against the California sky, picking oranges with your hair about your shoulders the way I painted it on Minton Street. You remember? Come, my dear, rest in my arms and... the locket. You're wearing the... No. No, Olivia, put down that knife, don't!
Cabby. Cabby!
Walter Jarvis at your service, madam.
Take me to the Bow Street station. I want the police.
The Screen Guild Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from January 13, 1949 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.